Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Well, good evening, Amazing Grace Facebook and YouTube family. It's such a great joy and an honor once again to come into your living rooms. My name is Fee Sullivan, pastor of Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and I truly hope you had a wonderful evening so far. And I hope that this message will bless you and build you up in your most holy faith. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, just a couple of announcements. I want to give a great big shout out to evangelist Felipe Reles, who preached this past Sunday. It was a powerful message on deception. You can go back to our website and rehear it, and you could watch it on YouTube. You could see it and hear it on our webpage at AmazingGraceChristianFellowship.com. And so thank you, evangelist Felipe Reles, for preaching on my behalf. Also, this coming Sunday, we're going to be having Sister Kedma Wentz coming down from Riverside to be with us, and we're excited to have her come down once again. She brings a wonderful fragrance of worship and praise to the body of Christ here in Bonita, California at Amazing Grace, and we look forward to having her this Sunday morning. Praise God. Praise God. And also, I want you to just note this tentatively. Sunday, I believe it's October 30th, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, we would love to have a worship testimonial service where you could come and testify what God has done in your life. Maybe God has restored your marriage. Maybe God has delivered you from certain sins or situations. Maybe He has blessed you financially. Just whatever the case may be. Salvation, of course. Maybe how God impacted your life and you gave your heart to Him. Come and share what God has done for you. And then we'll have worship and praise, and then more testimonials that would come forth. Praise God. Once again, October 30th, Sunday evening at 6. And we're hoping that we could put this together. We should confirm it by this coming Sunday at around 10 a.m. Praise God. Praise God. And so, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you. Lord, we glorify you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Please turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 7. And so let me prepare the screen right up here. Here we go. Let's go here. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, God is not mocked. God is not mocked. So if you're there, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to do our best to expound these 7 verses and allow the Holy Ghost to have His way this evening. Are you ready? Here we go. Verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Look at this. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Praise God. Verse 6 and 7. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. And do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Praise God. Praise God. So, my friends, let's break this down. Let's go to verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself. Look at this. Lest you also be tempted. Praise God. You see, saints, Paul addressed the problem of the individual sin by explaining corporate group type of sin and responsibility. You see, a Christian may sin alone, but because he or she participates in the body of Christ, his or her sin affects the whole, possibly even the entire body of Christ. And so, our reaction to other Christian sins ought not to be how we can rid the church of these sinners. No. Rather, we should help our brothers and sisters who are fellow members of the body of Christ. Can I get an amen? We are to help restore them. And so the phrase, if a Christian is overcome by sin, pictures a believer being trapped or caught by sin. And no church, indeed no believer, is completely free of sin. For sinful human desires still exist in believers. Can I get an amen? Paul explained how we can overcome these issues in our walk with Christ in the previous chapter. Let's go back and take a glimpse of Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Let's go there right now. Look at this. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. That's the key. Walking in the Holy Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. Are you catching this, saints of God? Look at this. So that you do not do the things that you wish. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Praise God. Praise God. So, saints, we must not report every sin or point out each person's failings. No. While Paul didn't explain the word sin, he focused on the type of sin that entraps a person, refusing to let him or her go and causing damage to his or her faith. Praise God. Praise God. Because that's where the damage is. It becomes personal, the individual, not so much the whole body. Now, the believers may have wondered how the church should deal with members of who should be falling into sin. Should the sin be overlooked in the name of love? That's a good question, isn't it? Or should the sin be exposed to everyone? No. And if not, my friends, who needs to know? And what should they do about it? These are really good questions that I impose upon all of us. Now, Paul did not recommend ignoring unrepented sin, because no matter how well hidden, sin will eventually cause problems in the church. Oh, yes, it will. And there are many types. Fornication, adultery, men and women even caught in watching pornography, gambling. There's a lot of issues that's in the church still. But only by the grace of God and the power of God can one be delivered. You see, my friends, neither did Paul recommend a public humiliation of the sinner, for that would not achieve the objective of restoring the person to the fellowship. Oh no, no one wants to be put on blast. Paul recommended action, but he gave advice as to who should act and how the action should be taken. First, action should be taken only by those who are godly. Can I get an amen? And who are these people, saints? Paul was referring to men and women who walk in the Spirit, in the sense that Paul had explained at the end of chapter 5. Only those mature in the faith are able to handle this situation properly and should deal with it. Those who are mature, those who have wisdom, those who have been illuminated, those who've been walking for a while with Christ. Oh, that's right, saints of God. Look what it says in the book of Hebrews. It outlines it pretty clearly. Let's go there right now. Look at this. In Hebrews 5:13 through 14, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. We're talking about baby Christians. For he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's the key right there, discernment. Discernment. You see, my friends, in other words, the new immature believers should not deal with the delicate subject of sin and sinners in the church. In addition, mature believers should discern when to confront sin. Can I get an amen? Look what Jesus said in the book of Matthew when it was written down by Matthew. Let's look at this. I want you to catch this right now. In Matthew 18, 15 through 20, look at this. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not, are you catching this? If he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be what? Established. Verse 17, and if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to even hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. That's when you kind of deal with them harshly. Look at verse 18. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Look at this. Verse 19. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. You see, my friends, every person's fault not need to be dragged into the light for all to see. But persistent sin that destroys a person and hurts the fellowship, it must be resolved. And so next, Paul clarified what spiritually mature Christians should do for one who is caught in sin, and that is gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen in the house? When leaders confront a person caught in sin, they should avoid humiliating, punishing, or using the person as a public example. Instead, the leader's purpose should be to restore the person to the fellowship of believers. Can I get an amen? That's taught in the Word of God. See, it's easy to blast people and put them on blast. You know why people talk about people's sin and then they want them to be humiliated? Because they want themselves look like they're above them. No, we're all equal at the cross. Every one of us deals with the issues of the heart. You and I must always repent when we fall into sin. Can I get an amen? But the book of 2 Timothy gives us a glimpse and gives us action and remedy. Look at this. In 2 Timothy 2:24, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. Verse 25, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know what? Look at this. So that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Wow. Wow. You see, my friends, mature believers should help get the person on the right track. Can I get an amen? Encourage repentance and accountability. Offer assistance if needed. And warmly accept the repentant person back into the church. All church discipline aims at this goal, my friends. The church has a duty to help erring believers, but each individual believer must be taken the responsibility for dealing with sin and temptation. Can I get an amen in the house? In such situations, my friends, the apostle was describing those who restore a fallen one could face two temptations. Let's look at this right now. Number one, they might be tempted to have spiritual pride. You see, be careful on how you minister to the saints, because your pride could be on display. Can I get an amen? You have to be careful. It has to be done with humility. It has to be done through the Word of God. It cannot be your opinion. Number two, look at this. They might fall into the same temptation faced by the one they are trying to correct. You catch that, my friends? Did you catch that? Oh, that's right. That's right. And so let's move on now. Let's move on to verse number 2 in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Fulfill the law of Christ. Can I get an amen? Saints, as used in this verse, troubles and problems refer to the heavy or oppressive burdens that a believer cannot carry alone. And it could be financial burdens, it could be burdens of temptation, of whatever case may be. We must help share the loads that others find too heavy to carry alone. However, we must not regard this load as a burden, but a joy. Can I get an amen? It has to be a joy. It has to be a joy to pray for them. It has to be a joy to help restore them. It has to be a joy to be that vessel to reconcile them back to God. And then those who have bickered and quarreled against one another, to help them restore their relationships. It should be about restoration. Can I get an amen in the house? I need someone to go ahead and just send up amen and amens on your phones. Can I get amen? We need to be the ones that will help restore and not tear down. Praise God. And so, like people hiking a trail, saints, we not only shoulder our own backpacks, but we help out with other people's loads when the trail gets too steep. They get too tired or their feet get blistered whenever they need assistance. And so, my friends, to share one another's troubles also obeys the law of Christ. And so how so? Well, Paul explained. He explained that, my friends. Let's look what was written in the book of John right here. Let's go to John right here. In John 13, look at this, 34 through 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are what? My disciples, if you have love for one another. Praise God, praise God. See, my friends, there's too many in the church today that look for those who are in sin, and they try to administer a rebuke or discipline without any wisdom, without any maturity. And so many times new believers, they're filled with zeal and the joy of the Lord, but they have no wisdom yet. They haven't walked a long time or walked a while with Christ. And so when they look at those who have sinned in the church, right away they want to point them out because they don't have a spirit of meekness. They haven't developed all that yet. And so this is why it's very critical, my friends, to look to the Word of God and how we administer to one another, how we react to one another, especially when a brother or sister has fallen into a certain sin. You see, saints, the law of Christ is His new commandment, praise God. Summing up, we must show love for others. And in a sense, Paul was saying, if you insist on carrying burdens, don't carry the burden of the law. The law will burden you. Instead, in love, carry one another's burdens. Then you not only help one another out and build unity among yourselves, but you also fulfill the law of Christ. Praise God. Praise God. So let's move on in this chapter. Here we go. In verse 3 of Galatians chapter 6. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he what? Deceives himself. Wow. Wow. Oh, my friends. We don't want to be deceived, right? And so, saints, some believers either would refuse to follow Paul's command to help share one another's troubles, or would do so in order to be noticed and receive praise. There you go. That hidden motive. Can I get an amen? You see, both motives come from conceit. Those people may have regarded themselves as too important, too dirty themselves with others' problems and failings. Oh, there's people that won't even help. Oh, that's your fault. You need to repent. You know those kind of folks. But Paul was anxious to warn the Galatians not to tolerate any form of spiritual superiority, no matter how cleverly disguised. Oh, that's right. Paul explained that these people's lack of love for others reveal both worthlessness to the body of Christ and also their bankrupt spiritual state. Wow. You see, my friends, this person may think he is important, but he is really a nobody. The true somebodies in the church produce the Holy Spirit's fruit in their lives, and these people won't even be concerned about their status. They will be busy helping others, and that's the point of view that we need to take. Can I get an amen? And so let's move on to verse 4. Here we go in Galatians chapter 6. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another. Verse 5, for each one shall bear his own load. Wow. Wow, saints of God. Paul sums it up right there, that we should examine our own work. You see, saints, while some people may be conceited regarding their burden bearing, others may feel as though they can't share troubles as well as others. And then some might be afraid of grief or pain. Some others might get tongue-tied in trying to offer encouragement. Others may be so shy as to be unable to approach needy people. Conversely, some may have experienced others who, under the pretense of helping, exploit the vulnerability of a person in trouble or violated trust that was placed in them in their very personal matters. Saints of God, both our abilities and motives need healthy, ongoing examination. Can I get an amen? This is what Paul was saying. Examine your work. See whether you're in the faith. See if you're walking in the Spirit. Because ultimately, it needs to be about glorifying God and to exalt the Lord Jesus on high. You have to remember that Jesus came to save sinners like you and I. Just because we have a little title here on earth in the ministry of Christ, let me just remind you, there are no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. We are all foot soldiers. Can I get an amen? We're all soldiers for Christ. And Jesus is our chief commander. Can I get an amen? He's our master, our Lord. And we take orders from him through the word of God. Praise God. And if it's not done according to the word of God, then it's according to our own understanding. And I like to say it like this. Sometimes it's stinking thinking. Oh, yes. We need to be about our Father's business. You see, my friends, Paul offered the solution. People should do what they should, and then they could enjoy the personal satisfaction of having done their work well. Just do what you can. Don't overkill yourself, but line up to the word of God, my friends. You see, my friends, each person is responsible for his or her own conduct and the grace of God. We should compare ourselves to God's standard, not to anyone else. Can I get an amen? You know why? Because men and women will fail you, but God never fails. Can I get an amen? Praise God. You see, the danger of comparing ourselves with others is that we either come out ahead, and it's a cause for false pride, or behind, leading to lowered self-esteem and the danger of not doing any more for others at all. So there's always a trap there when we're not doing it for God's motives. We have to do it not with our own motives, with our agenda, but it has to be according to the word of God. You see, my friends, Christians have different gifts and abilities, but God does not excuse us from sharing other troubles. We are not responsible to do everything or to make the same contribution as others. We are responsible, though, to accomplish what God has called us to do. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Praise God. So now, let's go to verse 6. We just read 4 and 5, verse 6 of Galatians chapter 6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Okay, So this is why we need to be raised up. Can I get an amen? And the fear and admonition of the Lord. Saints, after describing how the Holy Spirit helps believers in their relationships with others, Paul explained how the Holy Spirit would affect their use of money and many other situations. Paul's first admonition prescribed support of Christian teachers, the true teachers, as opposed to the false teachers that we read in the Galatian churches, the Judaizers. These teachers were serving full-time in preaching and teaching. And the congregations, those who are taught the Word of God, should voluntarily and generously provide for the teacher's needs. Can I get an amen? That's where tithes and offerings come from. This included financial support, sharing material items and services, as well as personal encouragement. While the radical giving and sharing of the early church in Jerusalem was recorded as a model, and all churches were not required to follow it. Instead, Paul recommended a spirit of giving among the believers and the churches that he had founded, especially regarding their care for those who were devoting their whole ministry, their life to the ministry. Look at this in the book of Acts. Look at this. In Acts 2, 44 through 45. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. That was back then. And Paul was insane that this is what we are to do today. No, but this was an example that the believers are the ones that come together in the unity of the faith to continue the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Look at this scripture that I found in 1 Corinthians. Let's go there right now. If we have sown spiritual things for you, we're talking now about teachers. Paul's a teacher of the gospel. It is a great thing if we reap your material things. Wow. Wow. There it is right there in a nutshell. You see, there are blessings. There are blessings. Look at this. And 9:14. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. Amen. Amen. You see, a workman is worthy of his wages. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's move on now to verse 7 in chapter 6. Look at this. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Wow. Wow. Look at that for a moment, saints. God is not mocked. And that's where I got the topic tonight. I want us to go to the book of Hosea for a moment. Let's look at Hosea 10:13. Look at this. You have plowed wickedness and reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you have trusted in your own way and in the multitude of your mighty men. What God was saying here and how we can apply it to us. Some of us have great jobs. Some of you have great wealth. Some of you are doing well. But then there are those who are struggling. And here's the thing. Every good gift comes from the Father of lights. Every good thing comes from God. And so whatever God has given us, let us be the vessel, the conduit, to bless the household of faith and to bless one another. When someone's down and out, if you know someone in the church that's down to their last groceries, you know what? Put some groceries on their porch, ring the doorbell and leave. They don't need to know it was from you. Put a white envelope. Put some money. Drive by their house and put it in the mailbox. And leave it anonymous. They don't need to know, but God knows. Do it out of a good heart, a faithful heart. Can I get an amen in the house? And so I want to also show you this regarding that God is, we should never try to mock God, especially in our spiritual life. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who submit to or perform homosexual acts. This is clear. And we know in our day and time right now, it's all over. It's all over the place. They are confronting us in our faith, but we are to stand. We are to stand in the midst of darkness. Can I get an amen? We need to stand, saints of God. Look what else I found in 2 Corinthians 9 and 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, while people can deceive one another and even themselves about their motives and attitudes of giving by their living, and here's the thing, they cannot deceive God. Paul said that these believers themselves must not be misled. Why? Because let me just say this, God cannot be mocked in any areas of our life. He sees right through us. He sees if we're in sin and we say, pray the Lord to everyone. He knows when you can actually give unto the Lord and you're holding back. I'm just going to tip God. Oh, yes, he does. He sees everything. It's always about the motive and the issues of the heart, my friends. And we are to follow the Spirit of Christ. We're to walk in his ways. You see, people can't ignore God and get away with it. And what they sow, they will reap. Sow means spread, utilize, invest. And whatever you use as a key, values determines the course of our life. Listen, if you sow into people's lives, you're gonna reap a harvest. If you sow into the ministry of God, you will reap a harvest. You may not see something in this lifetime, but let me just tell you, everything you do for the kingdom of God, God restores. He restores those treasures for you in heaven. Jesus taught the importance of investing our time and utilizing our resources wisely for the kingdom of heaven. Oh, yes, I have the word of God to explain this. Let's go to Matthew. Look at this. In Matthew 6, 19 through 21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Did you catch that, saints? Did you catch that? You see, saints, while believers have received God's special blessings and promises, God does not change the positive and the negative of all the natural law that people will reap what they sow. You see, my friends, from farming to finances, this saying holds true in all aspects of our life. Oh, that's right. That's right. Let's look at this one proverb right now. Let's go back to the screen here. Look at this. Proverbs 22:8. He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will what? Will fail. Wow. Wow, my friends. My goodness. Listen, a farmer plants corn and grows corn. He should not expect nor desire anything else. Believers must decide what crop they want to plant accordingly, for what they will get back will be directly related to what they put in, as Paul explains in that verse. My friends, I'm here to let you know that if we walk in the ways of God, if we walk accordingly to the will of God and to the grace of God, God will give us the grace to go through good times and hard times. Oh, that's right. And I'm praying that those who have logged in that maybe never given your heart to the Lord will do so by inviting him in into your life and to give your heart to Jesus Christ. Listen, on the 30th, coming couple of weeks, Sunday evening, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to have a testimonial and worship service that's on the agenda. And listen, my friends, I'm going to share my testimony for those of you who have never heard it and how God radically saved my life. and how radically he can save your life if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I want to give you guys that opportunity to give your heart to Christ. It's very simple. It's called repentance. What does repentance mean? It means turning from sin, and you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so maybe, saints of God, or maybe you who are watching for the first, second, third time, never giving your heart to Jesus Christ, I want to give you that opportunity. Because all you have to do is repent. That means turn from sin, turn your back from sin, and turn to a holy God and ask Christ to come in to save you. And let me tell you, he'll do the miraculous in your life. And all you have to do is cry out to him and watch God do the miraculous in your life. My friends, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. And let me just change the screen here. And the question is, do you want to be saved? Do you want God to come into your heart? Do you want eternal life? Listen, you will be heaven bound and a hell to shun. Hell is a real place. Jesus talked about hell more than he did heaven. And he came to save us from that horrible place. And all you have to do is solidify by faith through God's grace to ask him to come in and save you, to deliver you, to restore you back to the Father. If you're listening right now, I want you to bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. And watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory. Someone just got saved. Listen, down below is our website. Hey, log on. That's our emails on there, our phone number. We want to put a Bible in your hand. We want to point you to a church that teaches the unadulterated word of God and just watch you grow in the grace and the mercy of God. And we're excited. And also, I want to give a great big shout out for those who continually support our ministry. Down below, as you see on our banner, donations are deeply appreciated. Well, my friends, I hope you enjoyed these verses 1 through 7 in the book of Galatians chapter 6. We will continue with verse 8 next week. And I'm excited about this Sunday morning. Our beautiful sister coming down from Riverside, Sister Kedma Wentz, will be with us and worshiping God with us. And I'm excited that we're going to have a wonderful morning service in the Word of God. And we're going to be praying that maybe many souls would come to be saved and to be blessed. And so I want to leave you the benediction. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Well, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we want to say we love you. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. Take care. God bless you. And we'll see you Sunday morning. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.